Good morning, and welcome to another Tuesday edition of the Morning Show Community Conversations with Phil Huff and Julie Calamine, fresh off our Thanksgiving Day feasts. But we're recording this beforehand, so I'm going to project ahead to all the turkey and stuffing and side dishes I'm going to eat. By Tuesday, I think I'll be okay again to go back to a regular diet.
Yes, you'll come out of your carbohydrate coma by then, Phil.
And Julie, are you having fish in the field or something like that, I understand?
Well, my husband Daniel and I often go fishing over Thanksgiving, and it's still undecided. So it's up in the air. No one will know until our next morning show program what really happened with us. But I will tell you this, I've got a wild turkey in the freezer. And if we end up staying home, I'm going to brine and smoke that little guy. And I think that would be delicious.
That does. Did you save some chanterelles to go along with?
I sure did. And do you have a few also, Phil?
I have some dried chanterelles and some morels, but I have also with people who don't eat mushrooms. So it's going to be a very small side portion just for me. And that's okay. Oh, there's more for me.
That's perfectly okay. Yeah. In my book, that's perfectly okay.
Yeah. It is. And so the Tuesday after Thanksgiving is always called Giving Tuesday. It's a national holiday of sorts, kind of a counterpart to Cyber Monday and Black Friday, where instead of focusing in on the large business community or the online business community or the local options, small shop Saturday, this is about giving to nonprofits. It's kicking off the end of the year philanthropy for many folks. And so sometimes we have a focused topic on that today. We don't, but a good reminder to support your local nonprofits on Giving Tuesday, whether they're officially signed up for the program and you're getting emails and Facebook messages or not. And one of those local nonprofits is KRFY, Julie, right?
It sure is, krfy.org, but there could also be the Bonner County Gardeners Association. I imagine they would be accepting of Giving Tuesday donations, and I bet Friends of Scotchman Peak Wilderness would too.
Yes.
Along with all of our many others. So
all just of our many underwriters and the many organizations we interview throughout the year. And we'd start to name them all, but I'm sure we'd miss a few.
Yes, well said, Phil. Well, with that, and remembering that Giving Tuesday is an important day, let's move into our great topic for today. And it is the Bonner County Gardeners Association. And we're here with Dee Trenbeth, who is the president. And we're going to be talking about what Bonner County gardeners do and all the many interesting wintertime planning and learning activities and social activities that they have going on. Hello, Dee.
Hi, nice to be back on the show again and to see you both.
Oh, I know it. We love Zoom for this reason. We're not in the studio, but at least we get to see one another, and it is great. Well, Dee, you've been with us once before, but the listeners listening here after Thanksgiving may not have heard that morning show. And so why don't you go ahead and tell us just a bit about yourself, how you came to be here in Sandpoint, and then how you got interested in gardening and BCGA. Boy, that's a mouthful.
Sure. My husband and I came to the area for a vacation to visit some friends about 4 years ago. And literally within 5 minutes of putting my feet on the Idaho soil, I happily announced, yep, this is where we're moving. And about 12, 16 months later, we were here. So
it's a story like so many. You had that aha moment. Tell us about it. Was it the Long Bridge or coming in Highway 200?
Actually, it was being in their backyard and just the beauty that was around us and seeing the lake. That's what did it. Yeah. And it was a beautiful August blue sky kind of day.
Mm.
That's funny because my first visit to the Sandpoint area was in August. It was over Labor Day, and it is quite a time to visit this area.
It is. My first visit was in February over President's Day weekend, and it was snowy and wonderful, and it had that It's a Wonderful Life look and feel to the downtown area.
That's neat. That's cool. So any time can be good. Well, maybe not during mud season, but any other time will suck a person in. Not literally.
Yeah. So mud season's planting season for some. And tell us a little bit more how you became engaged with gardening and the Bonner County Gardeners Association, Dee.
Well, I always enjoyed gardening where we lived before. For sure, a very newbie at it. But coming up here to this area and being in a different environment, I wanted to make sure I understood the differences and the nuances of North Idaho and being familiar with what was required with gardening, especially having more of the seasons, which I didn't have to so much worry about where we lived previously. And also too, I think the just camaraderie and developing new friendships, being new to the area, that was a part of it too, was it was the way to meet a good group of folks and begin to develop some friendships and common interests.
Yeah. So if we were to go to Bonner County Gardeners website, which I do because I'm a member, it the sort of the three prongs that hold together this organization are community, camaraderie, education. And all three are great. And I'd like to talk about all three. And I was thinking we might start with education.
Sure, sure. That is one of our focus for sure. And we feel very strongly about education. I know we'll be talking about our membership classes in just a little bit, but it kind of begins there because even within the organization, we want all of our members to have a foundational level of gardening education. Doesn't mean you need to be an expert, doesn't mean you need to know everything there is to know about gardening, but just a basic foundational understanding of gardening and not only vegetable and fruits and that kind of thing, but just even our native plants and other kind of, you know, landscape kind of planting, grass, whatever it might be. So that foundation, I think, starts, you know, within the structure of our membership, but we're also very community minded. And so that community education is equally as important to us. So we offer education classes in the spring and the fall. Caveat, because of COVID, we've kind of dialed back on a few things, but we also offer them the membership class, which is a rather involved. It's about 12, 14 weeks of classes to really give you a good foundation as far as your gardening experience.
Yes, and something that other Bonner County gardeners have pointed out in the past when I've talked with them is that this organization is very science-based, yes?
Yes, yeah. It is science-based. We definitely want to follow established guidelines and known facts and not just, oh, hey, this is what I did in my yard. Those kind of helpful hints are, for the most part, helpful. But yes, we do want to follow the science and to be able to offer that kind of scientific foundation for all of our members and community.
So tell us a little bit more about the background of the association, how it came to be, how long it's been around, where it developed from.
Bonner County Gardening Association has been around over 10 years now, and we were actually some of the original founding members who are still with us were part of another gardening organization. And just from what I understand, just, you know, desiring a little bit of a different direction and the camaraderie, which is also one of our important arms of our organization. I think they wanted to be able to kind of grow and develop that amongst the members. And that, at least as far as my understanding, is a little bit of the seeds that were planted that created BCGA.
So how do you go about building the camaraderie? It's more than education. There are other events or interactive opportunities for the members?
Yes, we have a variety of community service projects, beautification projects that we do that helps to support and strengthen that camaraderie. And then we also have social activities amongst the members that we're just for fun and just hanging out with each other and talk gardening, of course.
Yes, I've been to a number of them. I mean, they include everything from potlucks to Christmas parties to plant sale. Anyway, there's just a ton. I'm going to circle back to education because we started to talk about the main coursework for the Bonner County Gardeners Association, and that is a pretty extensive list of courses. And that's going to happen over the winter, yes?
We will start those classes, yes, toward the beginning of February, end of January, beginning of February.
Yeah, and I'd like for you to tell us about what some of the courses are going to be, but I'd also like to ask you, it's my understanding that anyone can join and learn these sort of intensive basics of gardening and then can become a full member of Bonner County Gardeners Association.
Absolutely. It is intended for all levels of gardening. Like I shared when we first started speaking, my gardening experience is still more newbie-ish for sure, but I felt equally as comfortable in the very beginning as far as the membership, friendly group of folks, both men and women that have, and also varying degrees of gardening experience. So that comfort level and just, you know, variety of education amongst the members is a benefit to those of us who don't have as much expertise. And then for those who do, they have the ability to share their knowledge with all of us who are more on the learning curve. But it really is a good foundational course that can help everybody, especially if you're new coming into the area, because as you might be aware, you know, North Idaho has very different climate and environmental challenges that you may not find in Florida or in the East Coast or on the West Coast or in the Southwest. So part of our classes is geared with that in mind so that you're learning specific North Idaho, our general area as far as the what the environment is like, what your gardening needs are, seasonal considerations, you know, all of that that go along with living in North Idaho.
So tell us a little bit more about the classes, how they're structured, when they start, how many there are, and a sense of some of the topics that are covered.
Sure. We are going to be starting our class will be starting toward the end of January. The information more specific will be on our website. Our first class will be the very beginning of February. We'll have a little meet and greet with all of our participants for the class the end of January. We will be meeting twice a week. The class dates will be Monday and Friday from 9 a.m. to 12 noon, and covering a variety of topics, everything from botany to composting to native plants to soil to weeds, which is important to know, especially some of our noxic weeds here in the area, pruning. Which some of that is also hands-on. We do a location pruning class that helps. So there's a lot of, and pest control, just trying to give everybody the as much of a full gardening experience as they can with getting established in gardening here in North Idaho.
That's a lot.
It is a lot. It's a lot to take in. And honestly, some of our members will either sit in on the class. We've had people who are already master gardeners or have a related education, you know, from a university in that will still take the classes because there's always helpful information when it comes to gardening.
Yeah, twice a week and in the mornings. I'm anticipating you have a lot of people who either have unusual jobs or are retired.
It can be as far as retired or just that they're available during the morning hours. We are working on some additional, especially with use of Zoom in the past 2 years, that we will be adding a Zoom content and video, being able to store those videos and that, so that we'll be able to appeal to those folks who are working.
Yeah, that's a great idea.
Yeah.
And for folks that can't do this entire course during the weekday mornings, there are other options that are available via the Gardeners. And these are for folks that aren't going to maybe complete the entire set of courses, but there are a lot of interesting courses. Talk about those, the weeknights, for the non-members?
Well, we have the community-based classes in the spring and the fall, which are called our home hort, short for horticulture, but our home hort classes that are generally offered in the evening. In the past, they've been offered on Wednesday evenings. It's about a two and a half hour class that covers a variety of topics. Just sometimes it's just based on the season, instructor availability, class interests or requests. You know, ideas that come across to say, we should have a class on that. A lot of it can be, our class series maybe can be from suggestions or requests that we've gotten from other members, or just ideas that we get from the community.
Yeah, really fun. I remember attending an evening class on permaculture, which was really fun. And I think there was one on soils that was an mm-hmm. evening class. So there are a lot, they can be quite varied and useful for people that aren't full-on Bonner County gardeners.
Exactly. And just want to take a class on a specific topic. Maybe they have had issues in a particular area, or they don't know that much about it and just want to focus in on those particular topics.
Yes, true. All right, well, we've covered quite a bit of education, but we've got two more prongs to the three-legged stool that is the Bonner County Gardeners Association. So let's move on to the community work that you do. And we've touched on it, but let's delve in a bit further. School gardens, plant sales, the evening home park classes, but let's touch on the things we haven't yet.
Well, we have a very strong community minded outlook amongst our members. And it's a very strong piece of who we are, and that's woven into our gardening fabric, so to speak. We have a committee that is focused solely on beautification, and those beautification projects come up year by year. And a lot of times not even planned ahead of time. It's just something that comes across as, you know, an interest for us. This past summer, we spent about 2 months worth working on Saturdays over at the Chamber of Commerce and doing beautification for some of the exterior in the planting beds and cleanup. And that was a really fun project. And actually driving by there almost on a daily basis, it's nice to see the results of all of our labor.
You know, I'm going to say the same thing, because it was looking like the landscape it looked pretty tired and unhappy over there. And what a nice change.
Yes. And there's still definitely more that can be done. And we, you know, might get involved in that again next spring and summer when the weather allows. But those are different projects. We support the city for the flower baskets that get put up throughout the community, the Farm and Park bench that got repainted, needs a little touch up, but it got repainted a year before last. That was through our organization. We did a little bit of cleanup over on the bike trail, the south end of town. We have road cleanup that we do 2 to 4 times a year. So there's a variety of things. And again, some of it is just where someone will say, hey, I kind of noticed that area over there, or what do you think about getting involved in this? And that's at least how some of the beautification projects do come about.
So it sounds like most of your members, there's a culture of volunteerism. Are there any requirements for membership that invoke a certain number of hours or certain number of projects each person works on?
Yeah, that's a really good question. One of the unique things about our organization is that, yes, we strongly encourage, you know, volunteers and help and that kind of thing. But everybody has a little different reason maybe for wanting to join our organization. They may be very interested in all of the education. They may enjoy the community outreach, or maybe they're just wanting to meet other folks that are, you know, like-minded as far as their gardening and you know, just sharing gardening stories and developing friendships. So we don't have a specific requirement on our volunteerism or having to complete so many hours, that kind of thing. Again, we strongly encourage it, but understand that everybody's reasons for joining is a little bit different. As far as requirements for membership, we do, again, because we're science-based, and as I expressed earlier, we want to have that foundational level of gardening amongst all of us, that if you do not have a prior master gardener's certificate, not necessarily from Idaho, it can be from another state, then we would want you to take our class. So having a master gardener certificate is a way that you can join directly. Or again, as I also mentioned too, for somebody who does have a university degree in agriculture or some related topic, they would also then not be required to take the membership class. Otherwise, for somebody like myself, who was the average, you know, backyard kind of gardener and trying their skill at planting and harvesting, the BCGA classes are a great, you know, fit. And for me to become a member, I needed to complete those classes.
So the membership can come through the classes, a previous master gardener's certificate, or an advanced degree from an institution of higher learning.
Yes.
Do the classes then at the end of the classes that the Bonner County Gardeners do, is there a certification of some kind that the individual comes out with?
There isn't. We do follow the Master Gardener, U of I Master Gardener program through the Extension Office here in Bonner County. And actually, we also have been... In the past, we've always had a couple of classes together just because of instructor availability and timing and that kind of thing. Actually, it was Boundary County and Bonner County and us, the three groups that we would have all of our classes together in a couple of the areas. This year, and very grateful to Jennifer over at the Extension Office, that we're combining a couple more of the classes just to be able to streamline the education a little bit because of COVID and making things just a little bit easier for us as an organization to work with this year. So I'm very grateful to her for that.
Yes, that's Jennifer Jensen, Phil. We've talked with Jennifer a number of times. She's great. Yep. Person really smart. We love talking with her. All right, so we're still a little bit on community, and I would like to talk with you about school gardens, because this is another area where the Bonner County Gardeners step in.
Yes, and thank you for bringing that up. And I was actually at another meeting this morning with Nancy Jenkins and Michelle Murphy and the Health Coalition as far as the incredible need for food bank food and how we can improve our harvesting, maximize that, you know, our harvest for next year to be able to help families in that in need, because it's getting kind of at a crisis level, as everybody's aware, because of our supply chain and just, you know, different things that we've been experiencing these past, you know, number of months. So our school gardens are a very important piece of that, because they have the opportunity to offer food to the family. So we have BCGA volunteers that will assist the school. It's not, we are not the just going over and just doing the gardens ourselves. It actually is this kind of multifaceted school project so that the children are learning about gardening, they're getting hands-on experience, and the teacher, whichever teacher is, you know, working with the kids that day or the kind of coordinator for that school's garden, they will help to set up either a specific garden they want. Like there's been talk about putting in a salsa garden at one of the schools. So, I mean, fun things like that, but it really is an opportunity for us as volunteers to be able to assist the schools and help them in their gardening endeavors. And the, you know, benefit is the kids learn, the families can benefit because they can get some of the harvest from the food that is grown. So it's really a win-win for everybody.
Phil, I'm just going to interject because I've been helping out with the Sagal Elementary School garden.
And you guys have done an awesome job, by the way.
All right. Well, I won't pat myself on the back too much because every year is different. But what's been fun and I think is really interesting is that a lot of kids who are afraid, who wouldn't even put their little fingers in the soil by the time we finish with the fifth graders are like digging out worms and grabbing, you know, like a carrot or something and not worrying too much about the dirt on it. And it just really can be a big change for kids that get out and start gardening. And we've got to hope that they'll carry that forward.
Yeah, that's great.
Yes, that's the hope and the desire.
Great for the kids and great to have them learn something about food self-sufficiency. And I'm wondering too, if there's, are there any projects that BCGH engages in perhaps with the community gardens or plant a row for the food bank or individually or collectively supporting some of the issues regarding hunger and local self-sustaining produce?
Yes, a lot of our gardeners actually do grow, and a certain amount of what they are growing, you know, for in their own yards, their own properties, that they are giving to the food bank. I know a number of members that do that on their own, and then we're also available to help with the community gardens that are in our, you know, local area if they need it. And that's part of that meeting this morning. Actually, was kind of how we can help to facilitate a little bit more support for the community gardens and helping their harvesting, or like you're saying, planting a row, you know, that kind of thing, to be able to grow food for the food bank, because it definitely is a need. The food bank also has its own community garden. Not to say that takes care of all of their gardening needs, but it certainly is very vibrant and is a good supplier for the food bank.
Yeah, it's amazing. And I just said that it was amazing to see little fifth graders that had never like touched soil or dug out a worm, but there's also about half of those fifth grade classes that do know about gardening, and they're very helpful, and they know about carrots and this and that. And, you know, it's so interesting to see the variation among students. Some kids have really learned about gardening and others have not, and they come together and help each other.
Yes, so they do. And the other side of that too is that those children then become interested, which maybe then will help to spur the parents or maybe get them involved in gardening, or at least inquire about it, or, you know, so you never know what, you know, kind of domino effect that's going to have for more than just that little child spending the, you know, the few hours in the garden at school.
Right. Not to be too cute, but we don't know what seeds we're planting, do we?
Right.
Exactly. Well, I think we've run the gamut, at least on most of the community activities. Let's talk about the camaraderie. Of course, it's all tied in together, I'm sure.
Hang on, Phil. There's the Bonner County Gardeners Tour.
It's amazing. Oh, yes. Well, that was part of what
I said.
Yes. And I was on, thank you both. I was on in the early part of the summer to help promote our garden tour. That Bonner County Gardeners Association does a couple of fundraisers in the year because we are a nonprofit organization. So the plant sale you had briefly mentioned, we have one in the spring. Mother's Day weekend is typically our weekend for that. And then we have one in the fall. Believe it or not, you get things planted in the fall and let them sit and then they'll grow for you next spring. The garden tour is also one of our other fundraisers, and it's a wonderful way for us to be able to showcase properties in the local Sandpoint and surrounding areas. And also for the past couple of years, we've also been highlighting one of the community gardens, which is nice as well. So that helps to increase the community awareness of some of the gardens that we have that are community-based in our area. But it is a very fun tour. The date will be July 9th, I believe, if I have that right, as a Saturday in 2022. Hopefully we will not have 106 degree temperatures that week. But still, even though it was very hot, I kept my fingers crossed, and we didn't have too many flowers that were wilting. They all seemed to tolerate it pretty well. I think maybe more of the people wilted because of the heat. But the plants seemed to do pretty well. The gardens were beautiful, and it was a great day for everybody who attended.
It's really not to be missed, because everyone can learn something about what people do in their individual gardens. It's really fun.
Yes.
Great fundraiser.
Very, very fun. Yes.
Yeah, what a great thing. And also, again, that's a lot of the camaraderie, too. It sounds like a great social opportunity for folks.
Oh, it is. And we actually get people. We participate in the farmer's market once a month and chat with folks, and they are asking us, when's your next garden tour? So yes, that does add to the camaraderie.
All right. Well, as we do start to come to an end of our talk, let's just finish with some camaraderie. Areas where you do enjoy camaraderie. I know there are social events. There's normally an annual Christmas party, but I understand that's changed this year.
Yes, just because of COVID, we just want to be on the safe side. So we've just opted to forego that, and we'll find another way to spread safely some Christmas cheer.
Yeah, maybe we have to do a Christmas in July outside or something.
I'm sure we won't miss the opportunity knowing us. But one thing I did want to mention, though, because this is something new that's come across. Round Lake is looking to put in a native plant pollinators garden. So I attended a meeting with Denison Webb and Mary McGraw and Michelle Murphy about a week and a half ago. A very good and I think will be a very vibrant project to have down at Round Lake that school children will be able to attend. It'll be open to the public, but we're just in the beginning stages of that, hopefully getting high school students involved in the planning. And it's just a very exciting project. So look for that at Round Lake in 2022.
Oh, exciting.
They've got that big patch of lawn. Maybe they'll, extinct that and turn it into a great big butterfly garden.
Some of that, a little bit of that area, yes. So we're going to take advantage of some of the shade and some of the sun and make it a really awesome place for, yes, all the pollinators to come and visit.
Such a wonderful park. It's nice to hear that addition's being planned.
Yes, very excited.
Very cool. Well, Dee, have we missed anything, or should we just call it a great interview?
Thank you for being a great interview. I so appreciate you guys highlighting Bonner County Gardening Association. If anybody is interested in our classes or just our organization, we have a website, which we also have a lot of good public information on it. So check it out anyway, but it's bcgardeners.org. Or if you are interested or would like to send us an email, it's info@bcgardeners.org. Or our phone number, if anybody has a pencil and paper or a pen, 208-265-2070. So that's a couple of ways that you can look to get in contact with us, learn more about us, and come join BCGA.
Yeah, it's a fun group. Well, I want to thank you, Dee Trembeth, for talking with us about the Bonner County Gardeners Association and all the things happening over the winter. We think gardening is over, but it most certainly is not in wintertime because everybody is planning. So this has been wonderful. And we appreciate you taking the time to join us. And Phil, you want to talk one more time about Giving Tuesday, I think.
Always so many wonderful things going on. Thank you to Dee for joining us. And as Julie said, planning throughout the winter and classes, learning, education throughout the winter. And if you enjoy community radio, as we all do, support KRFY on this Giving Tuesday. And if you enjoy our community, there are so many great organizations from BCGA to the ones Julie mentioned earlier. Support your local philanthropic charity on this Giving Tuesday and throughout the year. Volunteer your time. If you want to learn more about BCGA, again, you can Google it or go to the contact information Dee shared with us. As always, we do record these for later playback on podcast. So if you missed any part of this interview and want to listen to it in its entirety or rehear it, go to krfy.org and click on the podcast link. Julie and I thank you, and we look forward to having you back next Tuesday.